This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is that?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this lovely Turn It Up Tuesday. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Got John Harbaugh coming your way from yesterday, so stay tuned for that. But let's get out to the phones. We've been asking you to call, and you did. Thank you very much for that. Let's go to Baltimore, bring in Hubie. Hubie, thanks for holding. What is up?
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up?
Good.
Hey, I like to speak from the defensive back perspective, and Stevens, not just only Stevens, but any defensive back, it's a little more than instinct. You would need technique and some skill. I mean, I was always taught if a receiver get arm's length to you, start to flip your hips in the direction he's going to go. And if you notice he's going on a go route on the sideline, if he gets arm's length towards you, flip your hips, run with him. But guess what? Look at his eyeballs. His eyeballs going to indicate the pupil's going to get wider to indicate that the ball is coming. You must get your head around. I mean, it's a tough position. That's why they call it, like, you really like out there on the island. So it's really not an easy position, but it's a little more than instinct. You must have instinct and skill with technique combined, and I think you'll be pretty much successful.
So what do you see with Stevens?
What I see with Stevens is exactly like what y'all were saying. He's running looking at the guy, at the receiver himself. He's not reading the face of the receiver, and he's not getting his head around. He's flipping his hips to stay close, but he's not reading what he sees on the receiver to have the instinct. I agree with y'all on this, too. He does lack a little instinct to get his head around. He must start reading the receiver's body motion and his eyes to have the instinct to get your head around. Technique and athleticism alone isn't going to get it. He must have the instinct along with technique and athleticism.
All right, Hubie, thanks for the call. And look, I mean, he, along with the other Ravens DBs, going to have their hands full Monday night against Tampa. No shortage of weapons there for Baker Mayfield.
They got two legitimate wide receiver, big time. You know, Godwin and Evans are combination of the two. You know, probably as good as it gets in the league. Maybe Chase and Higgins might be better, but otherwise they're damn good. Because they got size to them too.
And Otten's a guy that can make plays at the tight end.
And their running backs are huge yak guys after the catch.
All right, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, News from the Nest. John Harbaugh yesterday met with the media, and Nolan brought this up before the show. Everybody, it's John was asked about Derrick Henry and his growth from the draft back in 2016 to where he is now.
Well, there wasn't much conversation about drafting him here when he came out because he was going to go too high. I mean, everybody knew how high he was going to go, and it wasn't going to be, he just wasn't in our place at that point in time. But I mean, I just saw him on tape. It's like, he's what a perfect fit for the Ravens. You know, he would be, that's the kind of back you wanted to have. He just seemed so different. And then, you know, playing against him, a lot of envious eyes. But I just appreciate the way he's fit in here as a teammate, the way he's fit into the offense, the way the offense has fit him in.
All right, listening to that cut, and I didn't even know it until you brought it up. Are you calling BS, Nolan McGraw, on John Harbaugh's explanation for, you know, he was going to go too high, et cetera, et cetera, would have been a perfect fit, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's all working out fine here in 2024, but are you buying what Harbs he's selling about 2016, though?
Well, it is a lie. I mean, it's just a matter of, was he mistaking him for a different player or just flat out lying? I mean, that's what it is. For those who don't remember, because I certainly didn't, Derrick Henry was taken 45th overall, the second round pick. The Ravens, now maybe you're thinking, okay, maybe that was still before the Ravens picked in the second round. Not so fast. The Ravens actually had a pick three spots ahead of that. At 42nd overall, they took Kamalai Correa. And we all know how that panned out in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Boise State.
Yeah, he was bad. I mean, the thing about it is, give Harbs a break. He's not going to say anything negative. He acted like he knew. You know, he probably couldn't even recall. He couldn't even tell you what year it was or who the Ravens took that year, I'll bet. So he was just trying to make it sound good.
Right, and maybe it's easy to forget. Well, not, that's the wrong way to say it, but you know, with how good Derrick Henry's been in his career, you wouldn't expect him, looking back, to be a second-round pick.
Right.
In hindsight, you're probably thinking, oh yeah, he was a top-10 pick. But even with that in mind, it doesn't work on that front. The Ravens actually picked 6th overall that year because that was the one year in the Harbaugh era they were picking high. They took Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah, now if Derrick Henry goes 4 overall to Dallas like Zeke Elliott did, then it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Yannick Ngakoue, by the way, was a 3rd-round pick that year out of the University of Maryland. So everyone's coming home, man. That was Jared Goff was the first pick, if you're trying to recall, in that year's draft. But anyway, this year's first-round draft pick, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Harbs, how's that going?
Yeah, Nate steadily gets better and better. And you saw him make some really good plays out there, some big plays out there. And then there's other plays that, you know, he wants to do better at. And he's young. I mean, they go after him because he's young like they would anybody, you know. But he's held his own really well. I think he's only going to continue to improve because he's got the right mindset for it. And I'm excited about the upside in a big way. And you saw him play a lot as a result.
Yeah, and he showed he'll hit. He came up and made a nice tackle on the one, then he's missed a tackle, and he'll get his eyes in the backfield, and he'll get beat on a double move. And, you know, so he's super talented, but, you know, cost him on the PI down the field. Then he didn't play after that. So he's still learning, and in critical situations, you know, he made a big play the week before in Cincinnati on that crosser route where he knocked the ball down. I mean, right now you just got to kind of, you're going to have growing pains. And they're going to hurt at times, and it's going to cost you at times. But by the time it's all said and done, you know, he's going to be a good player for you.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, news from the Nest. Here on this Turn It Up Tuesday, we played this cut earlier if you missed it, but here's John Harbaugh talking about the success of his run defense so far through 6 weeks.
Two things. Our front, I'm talking about our defensive line, linebackers, our defensive ends are playing really good technique, you know, 80% of the time. You know, then 10% of the time is okay, then 10% of the time it needs to be better, and they'll tell you that. But it's really good, and physical and tough and disciplined. The other part of it is our DBs are showing up. Our DBs are showing up in the box and on the edge when they're supposed to, crack replace, showing up on screens, which we consider part of the run defense. For the vast most part, our DBs also are doing a really good job. So to me, it's hand in hand.
Yeah, I think Kyle Hamilton is a big part of that. You know, he comes flying in there. And Marlon had a hell of a game this last game. I thought Marlon played pretty physical, and he played fast, chasing balls and attacking things. But Harb's right with the defensive front. We've talked about it. I think Travis Jones, a Pro Bowl player, and all those guys, whoever the D-line coach is, doing a hell of a job, because fundamentally they're all very good. They all keep their shoulders square. They all can punch, lock out. They all are smart guys because they can find the football, and they chase. They hustle to the ball. And that's a big part of, you know, run defense is, you know, chasing the ball, because then, you know, you're not giving up the big play. And then Roquan's playing better as we get along, too, to help in the run.
Now, we mentioned Yannick Ngakoue got his first sack of the year last week in that Washington game. Here's John Harbaugh talking about the veteran out of the University of Maryland.
Yeah, it's really cool. Maryland guy, you know, Ravens fan. He and I, we hit it off, you know, stayed in touch all the way through. But the biggest thing is he tells me every time I see him. You know, every time I see him, he tells me, you know, how excited he is to be here and how he's got our backs and everything like that. And I see it in the way he's practicing, the way he's playing. He played tremendously well, which was not a surprise because we saw him practice that way. So big addition to our team. Very excited the way he's rolling.
Adam Schefter reporting today that Yannick Ngakoue is going to be elevated to the 53. Still waiting for the corresponding roster move.
And rightfully so, because Adisa Isaac's not going to play. He's not ready. You know, so they were getting nothing out of that. And Ajabo is getting less and less reps. So he hasn't. And same with Tavius Robinson, because neither one of them are really giving him a ton. Whereas Ngakoue, you know, gave him some juice. And I think he's going to keep getting better and better and better and more comfortable. I would anticipate, Bob, his reps going up, especially like in the Tampa game, that a team that may throw it 45 times, they're going to need a little bit more of a rotation.
And I believe you said this when the Ravens signed him a couple weeks ago, when he was here the first time with Wink Martindale, didn't go up, didn't work well at all.
Did not.
But now different scheme, different philosophy, and, you know, looks like they're trying to take advantage of his strengths right now.
Well, they let him line up wider, which is big for him because he's not the biggest guy. And then you can go in and out. Gives you ability to go inside or outside. It's like that tackle's there, beat him. And, you know, of his 13 snaps, he probably got chipped on 3 or 4 times too.
Big trade in the NFL today. Jets like that Tuesday news, apparently. They fired Robert Saleh a week ago today. Yeah. They traded for Devontae Adams. We'll talk more about that coming up around 12:45 or so. But when we return, let's count some dough. Buy or sell, talk about the many sports subjects of this Turn It Up Tuesday. Talk about the baseball playoffs with Scott Miller from MLB Network Radio. NFL lunch at 1. Vinny's Feeble 5. Who are the 12 best teams? Well, Minnesota leads the pack. Who are the 5 worst? No shortage of candidates for that fun. And then Michael Felder, talk college football with him. Maryland's 3-3, winless in the Big Ten, and underdogs this week at home against USC.
Bob, they did give what the trade parameters were.
What is it?
It's if he goes all pro or Pro Bowl, then that's one of the either that or he's on the roster for AFC Championship game or Super Bowl. Either one of those, it goes to a second.
Well, you better hope he gets to that Pro Bowl because they ain't going to no championship game or no Super Bowl. If I'm Mike Williams, however, I'm like, duh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 1057 The Fan, here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Plenty of sports subjects to get into. Breaking news, I guess, coming out of Pittsburgh, which we'll get into in a second. Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw. But right now, let's count some early week money. Buy or sell.
Yeah, we made money yesterday, Bob. We're giving it back today. The Dow's down 124. The S&P's down 22. NASDAQ's down 151. Although DraftKings is up 8 cents. Under Armour's up 34 cents.
There we go.
It all balances out. Well,
does
the
it really?
Well, that's what I tell myself. The preseason college basketball top 25, it's out. Kansas earns the top spot honors, receiving 30 of the possible 60 first place votes. Alabama comes in at number two. They got 14 first place votes. And the back-to-back defending champion, UConn Huskies, they are third with 11 first place votes. Is this possible disrespect for Dan Hurley's squad? Well, last year when they were coming off their first title of the back-to-back years, they were in the preseason top 25, but they were outside the top five. They went on to hold down the top spot throughout the season for 8 total weeks, I believe 6 of them consecutive in the second half of the season. Buy or sell, Bob, UConn will spend more than 8 weeks at number one this year.
Ooh, I'm selling it. A lot of parity in college basketball this year. A lot of remade rosters like UConn's. A lot of portal stuff throughout the top five. Top 25. Look at Maryland's roster. Not in the top 25, but you get the point. And Hunter Dickinson still at Kansas. This is his fifth year. He was at Michigan for 3. The second year in Lawrence. I mean, so good for him. But 8 weeks at number one? No. Now, once you get to March Madness, then they get scary. Because that Danny Hurley's a hell of a coach. Just ask the Lakers. They were begging and pleading for him to take over. Now it's J.J. Redick, who something tells me is going to be regretting that if he's not already.
Over to the NFL, the Dolphins, they've had a lot of quarterback issues without Tua Tagovailoa available. When he returns remains to be seen. He will be eligible to come off the IR after their upcoming game against the Colts. However, head coach Mike McDaniel doesn't know if it will be that soon. He did say, though, that he expects Tua to play again this season, squashing any remaining notion that he might be hanging it up after suffering another head injury. They sit at 2-3 right now. Division, I guess, still up for grabs, even though the Bills did have a nice win last night. Buy or sell, Vinny, the Dolphins season will still be salvageable when Tua is able to return.
I'm going to sell it. I think it'll probably be... Because when's he eligible to come back? In 2 weeks?
After this upcoming game.
After this upcoming game. So I don't think their defense is good enough. Yeah, I'm still going to sell it. I don't think it's salvageable.
Little NBA. Go ahead, sorry.
And I'm going to say, is he any hit now? Puts him in peril? like the glass jaw boxer. You know, I mean, guys get knocked out for the first time, and then every time they get chin checked, they're down for the count. I mean, is he that guy? If he just seemingly normal tackle, which will KO him for the season?
I mean, people did say that after the two head injuries 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And give him credit, he was able to stay healthy last year. Played a full 17 games, I believe.
I don't know, man. Ticking time bomb, it seems there.
Yeah.
Some news from the NBA. The 76ers, of course, their hopes of a championship, they center solely around Joel Embiid. All of their moves have been to build around him, give him the best chance of bringing home a ring. But the biggest factor standing in his way and the team's way has been Embiid's health. Just last year, Philly looked poised to be among the Eastern Conference elite. Then he goes down with that knee injury, never had enough time to fully return. With that in mind, Embiid now says that they'll be taking extra measures to keep him on the court, including not playing in back-to-backs throughout the season. His direct quote, if I had to guess, I would probably never play back-to-backs the rest of my career. Buy or sell, Bob, Embiid will be able to stay healthy from start to finish this season.
I'm going to sell it. He'll miss some time with injuries. I think he said, correct me if I'm wrong, rest of my Philadelphia career. You see, Paul George hurt his knee last night, too. So maybe his load management will increase just a little bit more. And yes, I'm old school, Nolan. Back in the olden days, which were better to some level. Hey, Elvin Hayes, you had to pry him off the court with a crowbar. Those guys played and played after. NBA Finals games used to be day after day. So it is. He got a coddle. They make a ton of dough and whatever. Whatevs, as the young kids would say, which isn't as good as it was in the olden days.
We got more Jets stuff here. It's not Aaron Rodgers related. Oh. It's not even coaching related. Not Devontae Adams either. We're talking Hassan Reddick here. He's dug his heels in, continues to pursue a new contract extension from the Jets, or I guess someone else. They've opened up the possibility for him to seek another trade. Still has not shown up for anything since he landed in New York after being shipped out by the Eagles. The ongoing dispute even led his previous agency to drop him. He signed with Drew Rosenhaus, who's represented many high-profile players over the years, disgruntled ones at that. We know the Jets want to get something done, at least so we thought. Woody Johnson made time last week, amongst all the other news, to plead for Reddick to please, please, please return to the building. Buy or sell, Vinny, a new agent will help spark some sort of movement here, whether he signs with the Jets or gets traded.
I'm going to buy it because I've known Drew for a long time. Drew is a deal maker. Drew knows when it's time to cut a deal. And I think they'll have a deal done soon.
Think he stays or gets traded?
I think he'll stay.
Okay.
I think he'll stay. You know, their run defense sucked last night. But I think he stays, and I think Drew will get a deal done. I don't know if it'll be a long-term what he wants, but I think it'll be more towards what they were offering earlier, like a one-year type deal.
And we'll close with this here. The Wizards, coming off a 15-win season last year. That earned them the number two overall pick in the draft, and that was about the only highlight of their offseason, taking Alex Sarr. The preseason win total for this year, it's set at 20 and a half games, so an increase from 15, or maybe they're thinking you can't possibly go that low again. Actually, not the lowest over-under in the conference. The Nets have that distinction. Their over-under is set at 19 and a half after their massive sell-off. For the Wizards, we know another tank job is in the cards here, but there is some young talent. I mentioned Alex Sarr, Bob Carrington also drafted, Bilal Coulibaly, a holdover from last year's draft as well. Buy or sell, Bob, the Wizards have enough in that young trio to win at least 21 games.
Boy, are we setting the bar low with that one. I'll go ahead and buy it. And then if the tanking happens, not because they're purposely losing, they're just not good enough to win, then maybe they'll get religion and trade the Jordan Pools and the Kyle Kuzmas if you can get people to take those contracts. But, hey, Ben Simmons is back, man. Why the disrespect for the Nets?
When are we getting that first headline that he's putting up crazy numbers in the gym? That he's lights out from three in the gym.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. When we come back, talk baseball playoffs with Scott Miller. MLB Network Radio. We'll get into the NFL a little bit more. There is breaking news out of Pittsburgh in regards to quarterback. We'll have that for you at 12:45. NFL lunch coming up at 1. Going to hear more from John Harbaugh. Feeble Five, who are the five worst teams in the NFL through 6 weeks. And then college football, Michael Felder. Michael Felder's always been kind of pro Maryland, pro Loxley. I mean, I guess it's his ACC days when the Terps used to reside there, one of the, you know, flagship members of said conference. But 3-3, 0-3 in the league, two losses at home as big favorites. Is Michael still feeling that? He is Scott Miller. Scott, good afternoon. How are you feeling today?
Good. Yeah, always good in October with the playoffs, aren't we?
Well, we were until about 2 weeks ago when the Orioles went quietly into the fall night there at Camden Yards. And speaking of the Orioles, I guess we'll start here. Back-to-back playoff appearances for the first time since 96-97. So that's nothing to sneeze at. First time they won over 90 games back-to-back years since 82-83. So accomplishing some things, Scott, as you're well aware of, they hadn't done in a while. But the end of the season, it was a tale of two halves. The Orioles were one of the best teams, if not the best, for 22 and a half months, and then below 500 for the other 2.5. So how are we judging them in totality now that we're 2 weeks past the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see meaningful baseball games being played in Baltimore again after, you know, the tanking of the past several years, you know. But, yeah, it just magnifies, you know, there's no guarantee when you tank you're going to come out on the other side as the Houston Astros and play in the World Series every other year or win a World Series. You know, it's just such a inexact science and unpredictable game that, you know, to make the tanking and the pain and agony of the past decade worth it, you know, the Orioles need to get to a point where they do some damage in the playoffs. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, it's nice to play meaningful games, but, you know, you also don't want this window with all these young kids. You can't let that go. I mean, you know, if you go through 6-7 years or whatever it was of tanking and losing 100 games and, well, we're rebuilding, we're stripping things down and building things up, you better win and get deep into the playoffs when you get through that. And I'm not saying the Orioles won't. I mean, there's always next year, as the Brooklyn Dodgers fans used to say, wait till next year. But you don't get a lot of chances before young players get older and leave via free agency or get more expensive. So I think they're at a critical time right now.
Now, two teams that did make the playoffs and did play meaningful games, Kansas City and Detroit. Kansas City, of course, beat the Orioles here at Camden Yards. Both, I guess, ahead of schedule in regards to postseason success. Of the two, if not both, Scott, which team looks to be more willing to spend and maybe looks to be more capable of breaking through to that next level, which for both would be to the championship series and beyond?
Yeah, you know, they both look pretty good. That American League Central is going to be interesting. I feel, speaking of tanking, they didn't tank, but I feel bad for the Chicago White Sox because, you know, the Royals, I mean, if you give me Bobby Witt, I'll start a team with him any day, Bobby Witt Jr. That said, what the Tigers have going on is special too. And you give me Tarik Skubal, I'll be happy to start my team with him. So I think both of those teams are on the rise. You know, interestingly, we saw the Tigers. I mean, they waved the white flag at the trade deadline, traded Jack Flaherty. You know, they got to figure out, they're just going to have to eat the Javier Baez contract. I mean, his star has fallen so far in, you know, since that 2016 Chicago Cubs World Series win. But, you know, once they got rid of the veterans like Flaherty and Baez, the kids started to play. So, you know, I like the futures a lot of both. You know, the Royals, aside, back to them for a minute, aside from Bobby Witt Jr., you know, that pitching they have, Cole Ragans and the other young pitchers. You know, I think both the Tigers and Royals have a very good foundation. you know, the Twins, Cleveland obviously has a very good foundation. You know, they've done it for several years in a row. The Twins took a step back this year in a stunning collapse. But, yeah, that's a pretty good organization, too. So it's an interesting division. I'm high on both the future of both the Royals and Tigers.
Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio, talking baseball here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Yankees win the opener against Cleveland last night. Soto and Stanton go deep. Cleveland, wild pitch galore. Maybe they would give your friend a baseball day up there in the Bronx.
Right.
Rodon was outstanding. By the way, how does Cleveland get itself back into this series? Because I was telling Vinny off the air, if the Yankees win tonight, I see this thing going five tops going back to Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Cleveland needs a win tonight. I think, you know, the Yankees, boy, they've had a charmed life in the past several years with these expanded playoffs. It seems like their path is through the American League Central, and they've just had their way with the American League Central. I mean, you know, they're about, what, 25-2 against the Twins, if it may be worse, over the last several years. You know, they beat the Twins like a drum in the playoffs. A couple years ago, they beat Cleveland, eliminated them. Now they get Cleveland again. And, you know, it's like the classic David and Goliath matchup. But, you know, I mean, just like we saw in the Mets-Dodgers series, things could change. You know, the momentum, the feel, the vibe of the series could change if Cleveland could get a win tonight. You know, Tanner Bibee has to step up big. I mean, he's one of Cleveland's best. You know, it won't be easy. Obviously, the Yankees are throwing Gerrit Cole tonight. But, you know, Cleveland has to relax and play their game. They need, you know, they've got one of the best, if not the best, bullpen in the game. If they get the ball to a closer, Emmanuel Class A, they'll be in pretty good shape. But, you know, Bibee has to have a good start tonight. There's no two ways about it. I mean, that thing last night with Alex Cobb, and like you said, the wild pitches and the walks, and you can't, against a team like the Yankees, you just have to limit your mistakes. And that's how Cleveland gets back in the series. I mean, they're a fundamentally sound team. They do the little things as well or better than most teams. They've got to do that. They can't give away runs on wild pitches. They've got to play mistake-free baseball. They've got to get good pitching. And then, you know, got to have Jose Ramirez and, you know, a couple guys, get them a few runs. And that's the recipe for Cleveland to win and get back in it.
Hey, Scott, how about if Judge gets going? I mean, Stanton's like off the charts right now. Soto's hitting well.
Yep.
You know, and if Judge gets going, then they're really going to be dangerous.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know, the early home run from Soto last night, it's just, I like these Yankees in October a lot more than I've liked the Yankees in recent Octobers. And part of the reason I say that is because they cut down on their strikeouts. I've never been big on teams that just live and die with the home run in October because, number one, you're not facing like the Miami Marlins or Chicago White Sox pitching staff anymore. You're facing really good pitchers. So that is going to make guys like Judge cool down. Secondly, in October, obviously the weather changes. It gets colder, and that's not conducive to hitting. So a lot of times, and I think this was the Yankees' problem in the past, when you live and die with a home run, then you get to October, all of a sudden they don't come, and then what do? This Yankees team, you know, with guys like Soto and Rizzo, who I know has been out, but he's coming back now. But, you know, Soto's the kind of the gold standard for the on-base percentage and getting on base. And they have more guys in their lineup that can do that right now. So when a guy like Judge goes cold, it's not, oh, geez, no home runs are coming, so they're in trouble. They've got other guys that can get on base, other guys that can produce. And we saw that from Soto last night. We saw that from Stanton. And to your point, now if Judge gets hot, you know, it's going to be Katie bar the door. And I think, you know, I don't know if he's going to get hot because, again, what I just said, other pitching staffs are really good this month. You're not facing the dregs of the league. And not only that, but, you know, these playoff teams send armies of advanced scouts out to break down their opponents. And, you know, these guys have gotten so good at honing in on the other team stars like Judge that you say, okay, I don't want this guy to beat me. And there's so much scouting involved, and you know, they find a guy like Judge's weakness, and you know, if the pitchers can execute, then you know, that's a recipe for slowing down a guy like Judge. And we've seen it this year. We've seen it in the National League with Shohei Ohtani, has been fairly much kept under control. It reminds me of the old days. Remember how Barry Bonds, you know, he had a reputation as a playoff choker. You know, he didn't hit in the playoffs. But that all falls in line with what I just said about advanced scouting, just analyzing every last thing in terms of a weakness and weaknesses, and other teams' pitching staffs are great.
Scott Miller, MLB Network Radio, talking baseball playoffs. Scott, always appreciate the time. Enjoy game two of the ALCS tonight, and of course the National League as well. We'll talk to you before the World Series.
Sounds good. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Scott Miller, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, give you the breaking news out of Pittsburgh in regards to their quarterback situation. I don't think you need to be Colombo to figure it out, by the way. But NFL Lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Feeble Five, who are the five worst teams in the NFL through 6 weeks. That's around 1:15. And then college football talk. Michael Felder, we're 7 weeks in to the college football season. Maryland struggling, that's for sure. But a couple of big games coming up. We'll get his thoughts on those, too. Beat the Las Vegas Raiders, hand them their fourth loss. Pittsburgh tied with the Ravens right now, first place in the AFC North. But it looks like Vinny Serrato, Justin Fields' days as the starter for the Steelers could be coming to an end here shortly.
Yeah, sounds like they're kind of numbered. Russell Wilson's healthy. He was active last week for the game, and they won big. But I think, Bob, what they want to do is be able to get the ball down the field a little bit more. They want to be able to throw the ball a little bit more. So we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. The only problem with Russell Wilson is if your O-line's struggling, he's not that scrambler and stuff that he used to be. And Fields, he kind of saves them from themselves with the offensive line.
Yeah, he brings an element that Russell Wilson, but it looks like, in a, you know, breaking news here, NFL Network, yeah, going to make his season debut. Doesn't look like they're elaborating as to whether or not he's going to start the game, though. I guess he's going to start. What do you think? Is he waiting in relief for the first time Fields screws up, then they're going to give him the old heave-ho?
Yeah, they might be also, you know, making it where the Jets got to prep for both, you know, basically a runner and a pocket guy.
Speaking of the Jets, they've traded for Davante Adams from said Raiders. No surprise that he has reunited with Aaron Rodgers, who was his quarterback for a long time in Green Bay. New Orleans was mentioned as a possible destination, but Derek Carr got hurt. The Saints have lost four in a row, and they just got trounced by Tampa, who we'll be talking about for the next few days as they host the Ravens on Monday. But Davante Adams goes to the Jets, and I guess we know what the compensation will be for this trade. Parameters of said deal. Jets lost last night. If you missed it, we'll get to that when we do our picks here.
Well, the only thing also, Bob, was the Raiders aren't eating any of the money. That was a big part of it, because I think, $13 million is his cap number. So all the other teams wanted him to, you know, eat half of it or something if you're going to give that high of a pick. So the Jets just said, Woody must have said, just get it done now. Let's go.
And as Nolan pointed out during buy or sell, they have granted Drew Rosenhaus, Hassan Reddick's new representation, permission to seek a trade. And what am I missing here? Is this Lawrence Taylor or Hassan Reddick we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, you know what, Bob? All right, you're giving up a three. Maybe you get back a four or five. The one that comes to my mind, Bob, you know who comes to my mind? Detroit.
Now that Hutchinson's going to be gone.
Yeah. So I imagine Detroit probably is called, and we'll see how that kind of works out. But Drew's a deal maker, and Drew will get a deal done.
Now, we mentioned the Jets losing last night, Nolan, Monday Night Football 23-20. Frustrating loss at that.
Yeah.
For Aaron Rodgers and crew, new offensive caller, play caller, new coach, et cetera, et cetera. Same result. Now 2-4 in the year. So Give us an idea of what the pick standings are. We get a couple days off before Thursday night, Denver and New Orleans. But how are we looking for the battle for booze, as we call it? Beer for me and Nolan. Old Ultra for the Bobster. Yingling for Nolan, and Vinny likes the vino. So after last night's game, what's up?
A win for the Bills is a win for Bob and myself. Yeah. Vinny took the home team Jets. Updated standings. Bob creating some separation here.
Uh-oh.
Two games up. 78-45, Vinny 76-47, and I'm still in last, 70-53.
Well, still a lot of football left to be played.
Yeah, that kicker killed me last night.
Greg the Leg?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, Buffalo's kicker ain't that great either.
No.
Tyler Bass. He missed that field goal in the playoffs that still stings, I would assume. If you're a Bills fan, we got more football coming your way, top of the hour. We're going to hear from John Harbaugh as he met with the media yesterday as we got some NFL lunch. We got the Feeble Five, who are the five worst teams in the National Football League through these 6 weeks. And we'll talk college football with Michael Felder as we're 7 weeks in there. Is the Heisman going to Boise? It's always a quarterback award. Could this thing get interesting? Still weeks to go to determine that one also, so stay tuned. Another Funhouse trip. Nolan McGraw, Inside Access, takes over. Game two, at 2 o'clock, game two of the ALCS tonight in the Bronx. Cleveland trying to get back in the series down 0-1 to the Yankees.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.